Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Our guest is John Studzinski, author of the book, A Talent for Giving, A Guide to Discovering the Talent We All Have for Making Life Better for Others. John, you say giving is all about you. What does that mean?
I've worked in the whole area of giving since I was 6 years old, but I've had a particularly in-your-face experience during my adolescence, working in public health and also working with Mother Teresa in India. But also in the last 25 years, I worked on giving a lot of grants to people. And in doing that, I've noticed how people are transformed. And when you show some confidence in their talent, you show confidence in their dignity, you show confidence in their nurturing their self-esteem, what you actually discover is that they probably have a lot to give and they don't realize it. They're not just a recipient, but they're actually someone who has a lot to contribute. So I've discovered this really by witnessing it firsthand with a broad network of people and personalities, not just in the arts, not just in social welfare and in education, but really in a range of different contexts or capacities, really.
John, let's go back for a second. Tell us a little bit, there's got to be a story behind the helpline you started as a teenager. What was your motivation in that?
I was a sophomore in a prep school in Danvers, Massachusetts, and the National JCs had set aside some money in 48 states for some type of program that would benefit adolescents. So when we did some grassroots research, we discovered, ironically, that adolescents in 1968, 69, 70 had very little information on communicable disease or venereal disease. So we decided to create a toll-free hotline, which was controversial when I first described it to people, but it quickly was something that embraced a whole range of people, mostly adolescents, because it was toll-free, it was anonymous, and it gave them lots of interesting, relevant information. But we were also able to work with a national group of public health nurses and doctors who helped support the project. And it was really just a question of someone saying, okay, find a problem that needs addressing and put together the right resources. So I used my ties with some public health people in Boston. I used some resources in terms of contacts across the country and media. And obviously, we had this financial support. But the truth is, it would not have taken place had we not had the network and the conviction of a group of young people who really wanted to engage in this as a project where they thought they were going to actually do something good. And what I've discovered is when people started donating their time, they learned a lot about themselves. And I watched them carefully and I noticed, wow, people are being transformed here just by giving their time. And in giving their time, they start to understand more about their own talent. And it snowballs, if you will, this juxtaposition. I don't know if you've, I'm sure you've volunteered your time at various projects in your own life. But when you volunteer your time, you start seeing how you react to people, how you react to different situations, some awkward, some upfront and very close. And it's a very revealing experience, and it's a very powerful experience. The genesis of this is also the fact that money is not the necessary element in serving the common good. It really has to start with the individual, and it really has to start with people who on their own think that they can make a difference.
We're talking with John Studzinski, author of the book, A Talent for Giving, A Guide to Discovering the Talent We All Have for Making Life Better for Others. John, you spent time with Mother Teresa. What did you learn from her that stayed with you?
Well, I mean, this is iconic, but she underscored the need to be humble, both in terms of her own role model, in terms of how she served others, but how hard she worked. But I think the most important thing I learned from her was the notion that as you go through life and you try to do things to have a positive impact, you can only change the world one person at a time. And sometimes one can have very grand plans with metrics, bricks and mortar, networks of people, big programs. But you have to remember that a lot of issues and a lot of transformation has to take place individually, focusing on the human being and that individual's dignity. And she was very focused on that. And regardless of how sick someone was or how fragile someone was, they were the most important person in the world at that moment. And I think we all have to remember, when we're working in projects or we're contemplating doing something, you have to go back to the ultimate beneficiary. Who is going to benefit from this program? Is it a human being? Who is that human being? And how should I think about the program in relation to how the human being might benefit from it, but how also they might fit into it over time?
Setbacks are part of a journey that we're all on. How do you suggest someone stay motivated when it feels really hard to be giving?
Well, I think you have to realize giving has a multiplier effect. I think we all associate big scale philanthropy with large amounts of money, with big foundations, have a positive role in society. So this isn't about challenging the role that these entities play. Your question is really about how do you maintain tenacity, momentum, when you've knocked on a door or you've tried to address a problem. And I take the view that sometimes you're going to have to knock on a door 19 times before it opens, and maybe it'll open the 20th time. But I think the reality is tenacity makes a big difference, because ultimately you will prevail. And I've made enormous number of mistakes at the beginning of my Genesis Foundation. And one of the things I taught myself is you've got to make sure you surround yourself and work with people that have a common chemistry, a common trust, a certain amount of respect, and a sense of community. And sometimes we all have to look at people as partners, partners in a project. And some of these projects we can do on our own, but many of them we have to embrace a community. And in doing that, you're probably going to have like-minded people who are going to support you and help you better understand your talent. And you, on the other hand, can help bring out the best in them.
One chapter in your book is titled Beyond the Selfie. How do we rise above social media and self-display in giving to others?
I'm sure you've heard of the expression vanity projects, vanity philanthropy, and quite often some people are focused on being part of a project because it might enhance their reputation or something. I think it's more about realizing what I like to call the multiplier effect. For everything you give, the multiplier effect is probably tenfold of what you will receive in return. And it's not necessarily just goodwill. It's not necessarily camaraderie. It's sometimes knowing deep down that you've had a transformational effect on someone's life, and they in turn often mentor or have a domino effect on other people's lives. It's particularly true if you impact one person in a family. And I do a lot of work in a night shelter with homeless people. And you see when one person sometimes re-engages back into their families, how it can be transformational. So I think it's not about the selfie. It's not about me. It's not about the narcissist. It's about me understanding that it's what I'm going to give back to a broader group of people. And it is about you, but it's about you having a lot bigger impact than we all realize. I think from a grassroots point of view, we're a lot more powerful. I wrote a piece for the New York Times 3 years ago, and it was really Bloomsbury and the editor of Bloomsbury that contacted me and said, we've researched this piece and no one's really written about entrepreneurial philanthropy, looking at a grassroots approach to getting people to motivate for change for the common good. Would you write a book about it? And I just said, well, I'd have never written a book. And they commissioned me. And actually, I dictated it because I had to be more in an inspirational, almost meditative mode to share some of my experiences in terms of giving and creating projects that have benefited communities and networks of people.
John, for someone listening right now who wants to begin their own journey of giving, what's one thing they can do today?
The most important thing you can do today is to think about what is it in the world today that I'm either passionate about, or perhaps if I'm not passionate about anything, what am I angry about? What am I interested in? Am I interested in climate? Am I interested in poverty? Am I interested in food security? Or am I interested in medical research? And then perhaps think about how you can get engaged Some people have ideas and they immediately create some type of project by convening a group of people. Some people have the ability to convene and talk about an issue. Some people listening to this might have a community of friends or family they could convene and talk about this. Other people, I'd recommend trying to identify programs that are already in existence and thinking about volunteering your time. And this is really important. You want to volunteer your time to learn about how you react to a certain issue. And if they don't want your time, then you don't want them. Sometimes people want your money, but they don't want your time. You know what? Volunteering and giving your time is the most precious thing, because you are going to learn a lot. They're going to learn a lot about you, and it is a win-win. So I would either look at convening and talking about an issue or a problem or something you're angry about, looking at volunteering your time to learn about a program or programs or projects. And also, in doing that, it really helps you better understand your talent. We all bury some of our most obvious talents when it comes to dealing with the human condition. The educational system doesn't always bring out your God-given talents. Some of us learn those talents by being put in challenging, new, and sometimes very dramatic situations. Or sometimes we can be very emotional, and by being emotional, talent bubbles to the surface.
John Studzinski, author of the book A Talent for Giving, A Guide to Discovering the Talent We All Have for Making Life Better for Others. John, we want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for listening.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.